What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live from three separate apartments in New York City. Important to mention, I'm in Brooklyn. Justin, where are you calling from right now?
Coming at you live from Brooklyn.
Pete, what about you?
In the sketchy basement in Brooklyn is where you're calling live from.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm in Bed-Stuy.
Yeah, and now, Pete, something we should probably get away right up top. We're all, of course, working from home. We're inside.
Working.
You're in your house. You're comfortable. You definitely didn't just wake up and forget we had a show, right?
Nah, yeah. Definitely did.
I can tell from your hair.
Your hair's telling a different story. Here's my story.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I should be enjoying some of the finer things right now, but I wasn't ready.
The secret is we're all in the same house, just on different floors.
Yeah. Most of our show, honestly, is social distancing.
Exactly.
To be fair.
We sleep in the same triple bunk bed, Huey, Dewey, and Louie style.
I like how someone said, Justin, you look the least like your voice. I don't know why that makes me happy, but it does.
But please elaborate on that, Jay Sinison.
Yes. So we should mention for the show, if you're listening to it on the regular podcast, obviously none of this affects you. But we are simulcasting this on two places right now. We're putting it up on Crowdcast. We're also putting it up on YouTube. So we're going to try to flip back and forth and look at any comments there and chat with you all online as we go. We're also going to do pretty much a regular show other than the sound cues or the booth or the theater or anything like that. We're going to chat through some binge reads, some things like that. We're going to do a stack. We're going to do some audience questions from you all, so start thinking about those, and we will jump in and get those from the chat later. And also, Pete's going to do some trivia. We're actually going to give away a $25 online gift card.
We've moved this entire show to the internet, and I could feel more excited about it.
Yes. I've never felt better, honestly. Like, I'm feeling real great right now about everything.
I look good. I feel good. I think my eyes don't close at the same rate based on my...
Wow. Yeah. Jeez, look at that.
Here's the thing.
There's a light just on your eyes.
I do have a little light. I have a little moon light right here. I'll show you. There it is. The moon.
Wow.
You've got that's a magic ball is what that is.
Is that a moon? Is that the moon?
Yeah, it's a crystal ball. I see the future. I saw this whole thing coming, and that's why I was like, guys, let's start a podcast.
We did have a question from the audience I wanted to get to. We should probably get to this stuff right off. Sean R. is asking, what kind of wine are you drinking, Justin?
Oh, great question. This is a Malbec Cabernet Franc blend.
Look at how bougie you sound.
Well, you know, I stocked up because we're in a nightmare situation, and the toilet wine I eventually make is not going to be as good as what I can get right now.
I will tell you, in all honesty, I've been generally since the beginning of the year, I've been trying to like limit the amount I drink, limit the amount I eat. Last night, I was like to my wife, I was like, "Is it okay if I get beer? I need beer. I gotta get beer." And I got myself a nice juicy Session IPA from Southern Tier.
Wow. And Pete, I hope you're drinking hair gel because that's what you need most.
Wait, what were you going to... You wanted to get yourself a big Mountain Dew?
Yeah, a glass of Mountain Dew, a nice tall glass.
Is poison.
Yes, I am wearing a garbage plate shirt.
Yes, Eduardo Martinez asked, was that part of your birthday gift package, Pete?
Yes, it was. I believe Aaron and John got me this.
Yeah, I'm just going to switch over, and then we'll actually get into the stuff we were going to do with the show.
All right, while you're switching over, I'm going to pour myself a tall glass of
Mountain Dew. I'm not switching over to something else. I'm switching over to the YouTube feed. Sure, you know what? Get up whenever you want, Pete.
Yeah. He can't control you here. You're in your home.
Anthony on YouTube just wants to say, Pete, comb your hair, dude. Daniel Oliveira says, Comic Book Club Live, woo. Yes. And then M. Anthony says, been watching you guys for 13 years. Glad to see you guys are still rocking. I don't know about rocking, but we're definitely here.
It's more like acoustic rock at this point.
Yeah. Did you also just take out your headphones, Pete?
I don't know if we can do this. We were so close to slipping off the edge in our venue. The fact that we're at home now is not going well.
Before we get into this, I just want to mention I'm wearing a Green Lantern shirt for St. Paddy's Day. I'm going to virtually pinch you guys. Pinch.
Ooh, nice.
Pinch.
Oh, that's a whole thing.
Get off me. I blocked it. Mountain Dew is green, so.
Oh, there you go. So you're wearing it on your insides. I get
it. And that's where it'll stay for the rest of your life, because you just got poisoned.
Now, let's kick this off. We were texting back and forth a little about this a little bit. Justin, I think this was your idea. You wanted to maybe do some sort of a binge podcast thing. Obviously, with everything that's going on, people are stuck from home. Those of us with children, I want to say conservatively, we don't have a lot of time to do literally anything at all.
No, what also, though, I'll be dead soon if I keep staying here with my kids. So I want to get in some comics while I have the time.
Right. But that said, the most of the world is looking for shows to binge. They're looking for stuff to binge. So we texted back and forth, and we came up with a couple of things that I thought were good to talk about. First of all, for binging comics, I assume everybody used this anyway, but there's Comixology, which is great. I use that for everything.
Yep.
There's Marvel Unlimited, which I've never really used before, and DC Universe, which I have used, which I actually think this is the first time in human history it is worth getting a DC Universe subscription. Whoa. I would say, what? That's, too much?
No, I just didn't see that coming.
Yeah. No, because like the deal with the DC Universe subscription was they didn't have enough original content. Doom Patrol is awesome. The Harley Quinn animated show is awesome. There's a lot of fun stuff that they have on their animated series and other things like that. But it's not
the animated stuff alone would be worth it if you put Batman the Animated Series on.
Well, I think that for binging, but it also has a ridiculous amount of DC Comics to read and full runs of DC Comics, which is why I say like it is legit worth it to get a DC Universe subscription right now. Is there anything you guys would recommend? Any thoughts on Marvel Unlimited or Comixology?
I mean, I think it just depends on what you want. I think because the thing I want to talk about was getting into some titles that would really serve and feel good to read in this time, whether feel bad good or just good. So I think you just got to chase the title down or wherever it is.
Yeah.
What do you mean bad good?
Like, well, I'll explain when we get to it, but like a thing you like, I watched the movie Contagion last night or two nights ago.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
What is wrong
with you? It's sort of like going toward the like fear, chasing your fear, like following your fear, Pete.
I've heard of that saying.
Yeah. And sort of like going at the thing. Ben, the border collie, has the right idea.
Ben, you're killing me.
What I mean is like, so I watch Contagion and I like, oh, maybe there's an appetite for comics that sort of reflect the times or our worst case scenario. And one that I thought of was Why the Last Man as a sort of virus post-apocalyptic world.
Why the Last Man?
Yeah. Why not the last man, I like to say.
That's right. That's your tagline.
It was weird
on the
way you said that.
Slipcase.
Well, something that I was thinking about when we were talking about these binge reads to do right now is, first of all, I think you need something that's a long run and also something that ideally has a finished run, because I think there's almost nothing worse than like you get 60 issues in, you binge through the whole comic, and then you're like, now I need to wait a month, and I don't know what's going to happen a month at this point. I feel like there's something nice about getting...
Take it easy.
Well, no. But like, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, the world might be completely different by that point. We might all be dead. That's all I'm saying. Like in a positive light, like we might all be dead. My point being, though, that like I think there's something to be said for getting to that sense of completion, the ending there.
Oh, yeah.
Ever say that out loud again.
Not the ending of the world. I'm talking about the ending of the comic book run. So to that
I'm
point,
talking about you saying getting to completion was the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
Sorry.
Pete,
I'll say
that's you.
Bringing
that's on you,
you to
Pete.
Completion.
That's on
no,
you,
no.
Pete.
He said it, man. Don't put that on me. He put it out there.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring you to completion. Yes. Sean R. called out the one that I texted you guys, which is Walking Dead, which I think particularly that it's done now. That was immediately where my head went because it's a good series. You can read through the whole thing. There's a ton of issues. It's all available on Comixology, and you can get the compendium volumes for pretty cheap. So it is the kind of thing where it's like, to your point, Justin, it's enough fantasy, I think, that you could divorce yourself from the current reality and say, okay, these guys made it through. These people made it through. We're probably going to be able
to. So you're, like, you're reading Walking Dead as like, this is good. They made it. They're fine. Wow. Harsh take, Alex. Another one in that vein.
I'm in a dark place. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, clearly. Another one that fits that frame is DMZ, which is a book that I really liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one that I wrote down was Sweet Tooth, which I thought would be a good one to read now. Yeah. That's, if you never read it, for that's from Jeff Lemire. It's set in a world, a post-apocalyptic virus. There's animal children now, and particularly one child with antlers goes on a big journey to discover what went wrong with the world, find his place in it, find a new family, etc. It's really, really beautiful stuff. And it's good. It's also, again, it's finite. Like, you can get to the end there and read it and then move on to something else.
Yeah.
Pete, did you have anything else?
Well, the thing is, the ones that I had recommended don't have an end. I mean, obviously, Why the Last Man, Lock and Key is another great one. But Usagi Yojimbo was one of my favorites that's ongoing. That's very – what's great about that is – a lot of they're one shots, they're one and done, and they're like, they've got really great adventures, amazing art. And if our future is we all turn into like animal people, that's a good one to read.
Oh, yeah, yes, which I think, if you check my crystal ball, that's what's gonna happen.
Oh, animal wow. Called it.
Yeah,
a couple of suggestions.
I don't know, you don't get samurai skills just because you're a rabbit or whatever. Plus,
no,
Pete,
obviously, you got to put in the work, all right? I mean, nobody's
you got to put in the work.
Trying to cheat.
Once you become a rabbit.
Being a Ronin samurai, you've got to put in the work.
Yeah. It's sort of fucked up for you to just become a rabbit first and be like, oh, I guess I'll learn samurai stuff.
Oh, really? The order bothers you?
Yeah, I feel like you got to be a samurai first and then just sort of lean into the rabbit stuff.
Well, there goes my whole thing. I was going to become a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and then work on my ninja training. But you're saying I have
to... off on a number of those adjectives.
Yeah, I would say, because we've talked about this on the show before, about how you'll just go out and lick some ooze. There is no better time to go out and lick some ooze right now than
yes,
true. Than right now.
Alex, in the coming animal world, what animal will you be?
Man, I'd love to be a porcupine because I think they're super cute, but also they got some defensive capabilities.
Wow, hard to love and be loved.
Yeah.
Well,
I really, it makes a lot of sense.
You don't care? No response?
Yeah, like, very dark place.
Okay, I'm over it.
I'm a porcupine.
I'm done with love.
I want to read a couple of notes from the comment section. So over on YouTube, Radlam says, Marvel Unlimited is pretty good, though some series are incomplete, like Generation X. Thank you for mentioning that, Radlam. And then a couple of suggestions for over here on Crowdcast. We got Neil Adams' story in Batman Black and White. Very good story, maybe a little short, I think, for our purposes. Chew is a good one, too, I think, because that's a more fun take. Yeah. Not exactly an apocalypse, but like there's a literal bird flu in there, so people can't eat chicken anymore. But it's super fun. It gets very dark as well, and there's plenty of volumes to check out.
Yeah, badass chicken in that, too.
Yeah.
True. Another thing in the sort of less apocalyptic title to get into, something to distract you from the news, perhaps. Bone, the entire series of Bone, I think is a good read.
To bring up Bone.
It's sort of light. Well, I like it. It's sort of light and fantastical to start, and then it gets more and more. The fantasy elements really elevate as the series goes on.
If we're going to go oldie, just going into the things that we always say, then I'll say Gravel as well.
I don't always say Bone.
Sure, I'll say comic books.
Read
some. Oh, wow. There you go. Nice.
That's my suggestion.
Didn't see that coming.
Way to pivot to print.
Yeah. It's dying art. All right, everybody. I think it is time for our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah, woo-hoo! We do.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, there we go. Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding. Shout out to Booth Man.
If we keep doing this every week, we should definitely each get a different different instrument in a jug band.
Yes. I call jug.
What?
I'll get washboard.
Good. That's the only two. That's the only two. I guess spoons.
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 Oh, there we go. This all seems very appropriate. Okay, so we got a couple of titles that we wanted to chat about that came out over the past week. First one we're going to talk about is X-Men number 8 from Marvel Comics, written by Jonathan Hickman and art by Mahmoud Asrar. This is, funnily enough, picking up, I don't know why I said funnily enough, it's not that funny. Here's a hilarious thing for you. It's picking up on a plot line from New Mutants. What?
Oh, killer punchline. Oh, I mean, Alex, comedy is changing in this new world, and maybe that is a joke.
So this is picking up on plot line of New Mutants. The mutants were out in space. They carried back a cute little egg, or so they thought. As we find out in this issue, it turns out it's a brood king egg, and the entire brood army comes from space, crashes into Krakoa, and attacks everybody. I love this issue. I thought this was great.
Well, first off, I think this is really well-timed because, like, I saw two people fighting over eggs in the grocery store today. So, like, you can't just steal somebody's egg and not think there's going to be any consequences.
When you say you saw two people fighting over eggs, one of them was you, right?
Yeah,
I don't want to get into it in case there's footage, but I'm just saying I saw it happen.
And you buy eggs singularly, right, Pete? One at a time.
Yeah, one at a time. One at a time. Smart. You got to share. You got to share for everybody. So you just buy what you need.
That's good. One and a half eggs.
A little point of clarification from comic book poser over here in the chat. Was Hickman writing the space line of New Mutants and not the Nebraska stuff? It would make sense as a crossover there. Yes, he was writing that. And it was, I think, two issues of that. And then two issues of, I want to say it was either Ed Bryson or Robbie Williams. I honestly don't remember which one writing the farm
Ed
stuff.
Ed Bryson, I believe.
Ed Bryson. Okay, there we go. What'd you guys think about this issue?
I thought it was great. I love the Brood. Great villains. I was really happy.
Oh, go ahead.
The idea of bringing an egg back from space and being like, yeah, no consequences here. That's where I call into question the New Mutants' judgment here.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked that little glasses Brood guy. I hadn't seen him.
Yeah,
I haven't seen him since Wolverine was running the Academy, so it was great to see that.
Yeah.
All right, Hickman, we're knee deep in this shit. Really, we got to bring the Brood into it. Like, I feel like he just keeps layering more and more crazy shit. Like, I want to deal with the stuff you've already talked about. Like, you keep piling on, and I'm just kind of like,
I don't know. I like how non-straightforward the story is. I like the fact that I understand what you mean, that there's going to be this critical mass at a certain point where we need to start getting some answers. I feel like we talked about this with the Crucible issue, which was the last issue. But here we get Gladiator in space. Kid Gladiator is with him. Clearly, they are coming for the X-Men on Earth now that they're done hunting the Brood. But I think that's cool. I love that we just keep going with this stuff. It's awesome.
I think Hickman's doing it intentionally. He sort of hits different pieces of X-Men history with the different titles and different storylines. Like, this feels very much in line with Wolverine and the X-Men because we have Kid Gladiator, we have Brew, and it feels like more of a lighthearted adventure story. When you get into the other stories and it's like, whoa, this is like more Claremont, super heavy continuity, like everyone's brooding, pardon the pun, the entire time. So it like... I
that
like
was
the
a
way,
really good pun, by the way.
Thank you. That's what is called a joke in the future, like you did.
I don't know.
Funnily enough.
Not familiar, sorry.
So I do think it still works, and the way the world works now is always more things happening at the same time. Like today's St. Patrick's Day, still quarantine, and also a primary day. That's a lot in our continuity.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
I think Hickman's writing our continuity. That's the fucked up thing.
I don't know, man, because there's so much shit going on, and then you're going to focus on like people being hung over on couch. He's set up. They're just like people passed on the couch.
What? Gabriel Summers.
It's not like they fight all the Brood, and the climax is that they're hung over on a couch. That's where they start, and then all this stuff happens to them.
Cool. Yeah.
It's let's say you had to do a live show. When you were quarantined in your own home, and instead of remembering to do it, you just fell asleep and suddenly woke up and drank a bunch of Mountain Dew.
Roasted!
yeah, great. But I'm just saying that, like, I don't know, man, there's just so much, and he's losing me fast with this shit, and I want him to either deal with some stuff or whatever. But, great, amazing, cool, you changed X-Men, great, awesome. Please deal with the shit that you have set up.
Nope.
There you go. The gauntlet has been thrown, Mr. Hickman. Moving
deal
on to
deal with it.
Dire Wrath's number two from IDW, written by Chris Ryall and art by Luca and Andrea Pizarra. We reviewed the first issue of this on our Stack podcast, which rolls out Wednesdays at 9 a.m., even in the middle of the apocalypse. Dealing with a bunch of Dire Wraths on the moon fighting astronauts. I'll tell you what, I was a little mixed about the first issue. This was a ton of fun.
It was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Because I agree. Like, I think we all talked about it as being a little bit like, wait, what exactly is happening here? And it felt like it was the story next to the story we expected. And this sort of locked it in in what we wanted, I think, from the first issue.
How'd you feel about this one, Pete?
I'm sorry, I spaced out. What comic is it?
Oh, my God. You have literally one job right now. Dire Wrath's number two from IDW. This is the one where aliens are fighting astronauts on the moon.
I don't know. It's not ringing a bell. Is that the one where the ship's in?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Great. Right. Thanks, Pete.
Hot take.
Don't remember it.
Justin said it was like a side story. So I mean, I don't know what you want.
Yeah, you chose the right one to not read.
It's like when you remember going to restaurants, right? But when you would go to restaurants, you'd be like, "Hey, do you want the burger with fries?" And you're like, "I don't care about these sides. Just give me the burger. No thanks. I don't like French fries."
And then I would call the waiter back 5 minutes later and be like, "Hey, where are the fries I ordered?"
Give me the garbage plate. That's nothing but sides, but all is maids.
Dude, how dare you say it's nothing but sides? That is
It's
not
nothing
true.
But sides, but all is maids. That's what the garbage plate is. What is the main in the garbage plate?
It's either cheeseburgers, hot dogs. It could be chicken breasts. It can be vegan something or other. But it's a meat is the main thing.
No, meat. I think the beauty of the garbage plate, like this podcast, is everything shares time equally, and everyone's equally prepared.
Yeah. There we go. Symbiote Spider-Man Alien Reality number 4 from Marvel.
Oh, I know what this is.
Great. Yeah. Well, you're on it. Written by Peter David and art by Greg Land. This is continuing a throwback to the time that Peter Parker was in the symbiote costume before it turned into Venom full-fledged. Here, Spider-Man and what I have to assume that I do not remember at all is the Doctor Strange from the 90s are teaming up to fight Nightmare.
It's a sensitive ponytail Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Oh, homeless Doctor Strange, says comic book poser. I completely forgot about that at all. Yeah. But I like this book quite a bit.
I feel like it was what movie? The Fisher King. I feel like it was whoever was writing it had watched the movie The Fisher King and was like, "What if it was Doctor Strange?" And then that's what it was.
Oh, weird. That's
for a
crazy.
While. I mean, this is a very weird title. It's written by Peter David, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And so he's just like wheeling around doing donuts in this part of the Marvel universe that no one really cares about, I feel like. And it's fun. That's what I like about it. And he can get caught up on certain his like little tropes in the way he writes, but he's still a great writer, I think. And he's really having fun with all of these weird parts that we've forgotten.
Yeah, I think it's very creative, and I appreciate the fact that this is like a side, like, hey, this isn't normal continuity. We're just kind of having some fun. And like the fact that
all of a sudden you like sides, Pete.
The fact that the way they dealt with like the dream versus nightmare stuff was really cool, and how that kind of evolved on the page. And J. Jonah Jameson was, I mean, that was great. That's worth the price of admission.
Very cool.
I mean, that was super badass in such a great way. And like you said, fun. And not sometimes when it's Peter David, it's a little bit more serious than fun. So I was really kind of impressed.
Really? You think he goes more serious? I mean, I know he's done serious stuff, but this felt very vintage Peter David to me.
Yeah. It feels like 90s Peter David, his epic Incredible Hulk run. Another great binge read if you're looking for something fun and full on in the superhero pantheon universe. It's just it really reminded me of that.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Snot Girl, number 15 from Image Comics by Brian Lee O'Malley and Leslie Hunk. What, Pete?
No, what you love Snot Girl.
No, I actually have missed a bunch of issues of Snot Girl. I mean, granted, also, it barely ever comes out. So as they talk about it, the back matter, they're like, well, this is our issue for the year. Goodbye.
Yeah.
But this is set in like a fashion influencer, social influencer world. You know,
couldn't help
but
do a little neck bit, huh, when you were saying that, like fashion inside. Oh, my God.
A fantasy world that doesn't exist anymore where people talk to each other and get together. So that was interesting.
It's not over, Zalvin, okay? It's not over.
It's all over.
No, Alex is going to be like that World War II pilot who still thinks the war's happening because no one told him it was over. And he's going to be like, wandering around his apartment with long fingernails and be like, Alex, come out and play.
Yeah, and I'll be like, we'll have to
throw rocks up at his window.
Yep. So this takes place in this fashion influencer world. There is the main character is really only known as Snot Girl. She has a lot of allergies, but also is a social influencer who doesn't really understand what's going on most of the time. There is a mysterious girl she's in love with. In this issue, she ends up going to a wedding and kind of messing things up a little bit. I actually did really like this issue a lot. Like, I feel like this title got to a point where I was just... It felt like it was in the weeds, and I was getting confused what was going on with the characters. This paralleled a lot of the stuff that happened early in the comic, the stuff that I more enjoyed, the very cheeky tone of what's going on. I had fun reading it. How'd you two feel about it?
Pete?
Go ahead, Joseph.
You're both in this detente where you're just nodding right now.
Cool.
I think Snot Girl is like...
I just want to frame this is my favorite comic, and it's the only one that's keeping me sane in these trying times. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So never be like, oh, we didn't like this, or would we read this?
Yeah, I mean, Snot Girl, the art is fantastic. It's very stylized, and if you don't like the kind of world that it's set up in, it's a little bit hard to get into it. Like, cool... It's a fun premise and idea. The writer's done some really amazing stuff, but I don't know.
I think I just don't really like Snot Girl. The character, yeah.
Yeah.
I find it hard to like and get on with what she's dealing with and talking about. Like in the sort of halfway through this issue, the girl she's talking to falls off a cliff, which is odd. Yeah. And then she sort of falls too, and she doesn't. There's blood everywhere, and she doesn't care about the person who may be dead. And it was just the whole thing. I was like, "What is she a sociopath?" It was hard to figure out. Am I on board with her or not? And so that made it hard.
She cared so much about her phone. It was hard to be like,
I get that.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah.
Yep. So I know why you like Snot Girl, but it's not my cup of tea. But
it's not my cup of snot.
The team behind it has done some amazing stuff, so let them have their fun with this, and hopefully they'll get back to some other
stuff.
Let them have their fun.
I hope you're enjoying making your stupid little comics. Pete LePage.
Wow. I was not saying that.
Hollywood LePage.
Oh, my God.
Strikes again from his bungalow in Malibu. It's where he's coming from.
I'll mention before we move on here, if you're watching this on Crowdcast, there's a section where you can ask questions. We have a couple more titles we're going to review, and then we'll get to a couple of audience questions. So definitely drop stuff there. Just click ask a question, leave it for us, and we'll read through those just in case we miss them in the chat.
Yeah, they're going by fast.
Going by real fast. This is too fast to
read. They just went by. Oh. Missed it.
Thor number 4 from Marvel Comics, written by Donny Cates and art by Nick Klein. Thor is now the new Herald of Galactus. They are trying to stop something called the Black Winter, I believe, that is consuming all of reality. And in order to do it, they need to destroy 5 planets. Last issue, Thor fought his old ally Beta Ray Bill to get through him so they could do this. Issue, he... tussles it up with Sif a little bit, and we head towards the end game here. What'd you think about this one?
Go ahead.
I really like this. I just think that the interactions he has with the different people is great. Like Sif, it's kind of like a little bit of like a brother sister feel. Like even though they're disagreeing, they're still listening to each other, which I really appreciate. It's not just like me fight, disagree. So I appreciate like that kind of stuff, even though there's a huge thing going on. And I also really liked how Thor, instead of like freaking out or raging out at Galactus for what he did and what he did to those people, like the way he was like, we're going to, we've got some shit to do, but afterwards we're going to settle up about this and I'm not forgetting. And you can't say enough about the art. It's really cool, especially like the whole thing with the hammer and the glowing and all that stuff. I think this is really a great book.
Yeah, they should have Thor use a hammer more. I think that would be fun.
That's fun. Yeah, get him something to, like a tool to really use, to throw around. I like this a lot as well. Couple things in particular. The scene where where Mjolnir lands in front of Loki and then Loki picks up the hammer, that was really interesting.
That was cool.
That was interesting. Donnie has done that a couple of times in this title so far, where he'll have weird things happen with Mjolnir, and he'll be like, but that's a story for another time.
Yeah.
And I love that very, not to keep using the word cheeky, but very cheeky way of just like, you know this is coming up. There's something beyond this arc, and we will get to that at some point.
It's fun. I also thought it was interesting that Galactus is fighting the Galactus from the Incredible Hulk movie is sort of the big bad at the end of this.
I think you mean Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Right, sure. That's what I mean.
They're different movies, I think.
Are they?
I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. But yeah, this is great. Next one to talk about for Ronin Island, number 11, written by Greg Pak and illustrated by Giannia Milo Giannias.
Good.
Nice job.
Primo.
Killing it.
I like when you sigh in the middle of trying to pronounce it.
I give up. Art is great on this title. I'm sorry. This takes place in a world where there's these Ronin, there's these samurai, and there's these undead monsters that are terrorizing them, slash they are using sometimes for purposes. This is the second to last issue of the book, which is a bummer, but the action in this is great in particular.
Yeah.
I just love the way Greg Pak is kind of dealing with a lot of things at once. He's dealing with this girl hanging on to her values, as well as, like, you know, how the kind of way things are run and the island that she is on is being kind of like forcing her to make tough decisions. And like the way this ends is so powerful. You don't see it a lot in comics where it's not like, hey, we won. Yay, we're kicking butt. It's like she walks away shaking her head like, I hate you. I hate what you've made me do. I hate how you made me try to grow up in this awful time. And it's, I think it's really cool. Greg Pak is a great writer.
You like that she's having a hard, like, time?
Well, yeah, not her personally, you know, like, yeah.
Makes me feel better about my own suffering.
I just think the way she's dealing with it is really kind of unique and cool.
When I was reading this, I was like, Pete's going to love this because it's like Usagi Yojimbo.
Right.
Check. But I got to say, Pete, here they did it right. They're becoming like samurai sword people before they become animals. Yeah, maybe you should take a lesson.
You're right. You're right.
I'll
do that first.
And this hurts a struggle.
By the way, John George on the chat says, what is it with islands all of a sudden? Billionaire Island, Ronin Island, so many islands. That is two islands, but do you think there's a trend here? Is there a comic book trend about islands happening?
Islands are cool.
Yeah.
When you think about
X-Men's it. Dealing with islands.
I've been really getting into thinking since I've been in quarantine. And if you guys think about it, the Earth is just an island in the sea of the galaxy.
Oh, man. That's.
I'm glad somebody's brought up that Greg Pak is a cool dude. Super cool. Nice.
Great.
When you meet somebody, back when you could go to conventions and meet people, it's just one of those people who don't disappoint. Sometimes they say, don't meet your heroes or whatever, but here's a guy who's not only just killing it writing-wise, but also one of the nicest, fun people to meet.
That man is an island.
Yes, he truly is. Last one we're going to talk about, Punisher Soviet number 5, written by Garth Ennis and pencils by Jason Burroughs. Pete, make the finger guns. Talk about what's going on with ye old Punisher, Mr. Frank Castle himself.
Pete, did you just shoot a bunch of villains above your head because you're the Punisher?
Yeah. I just think that, like, you know, Garth Ennis writing a Punisher book. I mean, what's better than that? I mean, this is just.
I don't know. No coronavirus.
They are related. They are related. Alex.
Touché.
And I'm pointing at Alex because Alex is over here and Pete's over here.
Other than that.
This would be good if we ever need to vote for stuff. We can just be like, I agree with Alex.
Yeah. Wait, how do I do it? Only I agree you can with Pete. Vote then.
That's right. That's the way I like it.
I only vote for Justin.
What's I weird is you're saying I agree with Alex, but you're pointing to me on my screen.
Oh, interesting.
Loop back around?
I'm pointing at Alex. I'm pointing at Pete.
Oh, really?
No, that's reversed. That's reversed.
I'm pointing at Justin. Now I'm pointing at nobody.
Wow. Oh, good. This is stupid.
Yeah. I hope you're all enjoying this on the audio podcast.
I just think this is a fun story, and also the I like the way his quote-unquote kind of friend met his demise in this issue. It was...
just going out there with that spoiler, bud.
It was cool, I will say. I won't say exactly how it happened. And so in this continuity, the Punisher fought in Desert Storm, or I guess in Afghanistan. Sure. What are we saying here?
I don't know.
The streaming wars, I believe.
Interesting. Yeah, now, I think it's... Is there a Punisher that comes out of every war, Pete?
How the fuck do I know that?
It's just interesting how he's shifting.
Yeah, it just... He was... Sure, yeah. They tried to update it for the times.
What are they going to do with the Punisher when there's no more war?
You know,
I've been doing a lot of thinking in quarantine as well, so... I got a plan. Yeah. I got a plan to get rid of war.
Pete, have you been thinking in quarantine?
No. I've been living in the past in quarantine. I've been blasting like 90s hits and playing Nintendo like I'm 12 again. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, that's nice.
But that's not much different than your regular life, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't dusted off the old Nintendo in many, many years.
Nice.
Did you blow in it? Did you blow in it to get it working, Pete?
You have to.
Did you blow on it to completion to get it to work?
Oh, my God. You guys are the worst, man.
And that is it for the stack.
Yeah.
And now it's time for my favorite section. It's my favorite section because you all make it up. It's your audience questions.
All right.
And we got a couple of them. First, I'm going to read through some comments here over on YouTube. Mark Carrillo says, shout out from Cali. Thanks for doing it, guys. Love all your podcasts. Oh, I'll love you back, Mark. That's very sweet. Nice. And JR says, Ireland is an island, which is correct.
Accurate. Yeah, we can, if that was a question, I can say officially yes.
Yes, there we go. So we got a bunch of questions. This is the first time that I'm doing this. Oh, this is interesting. The questions get votes and things. Fascinating. All right, this is one from John George. We're going to start answering it. Pete, what is the picture behind you?
Ooh,
that is mysterious. The Murder Falcon
page
piece of artwork. Yeah, page that I have that is like that was gifted to me on my birthday.
That's nice.
And that was gifted to you by John George, so it's a bit of a leading question.
Well, someone had asked in the stream, but he was
very nice. Still giving.
And Aaron, Pete. It wasn't just John, it was Aaron too. Don't cut
Pete,
out Aaron.
This is the next question is, what presents have I given you that you've like? No, I'm kidding. This is from Jay Sinison. Hey, Justin, is the Starman quiz phrase compared to you, I'm Chris Isaac?
No, but
Justin, this is taking forever.
That's not taking forever. The clues, I laid out the clues.
That's true, you have to play back the tape.
Yes.
I think we can mention this just because this is obviously a weird, different show that we're doing online here. But we had a couple of different quizzes. Pete did a Punisher quiz. I did a Cypher quiz. Now, you got a Starman quiz that needs to be unlocked. Is this something that can still be unlocked in this situation versus live in the theater, or is there anything different?
Yes, of course. It's a key phrase. I'll give one more factor to it. It is three words. And earlier I had said each of the words in our review section of the stack in the episode I mentioned it on. And I'll throw it out now. I will say those three words at some point in the show, separate from each other. And if you're listening and can put it together, it's a Starman-related phrase that if you've read the books will make sense.
Damn. All right, there we go.
Hey, Justin, do you remember what I said when I tried to get the quiz?
What'd you say?
I'm asking if you remembered.
No.
Oh, because I said some things after I Googled Starman and...
you said some things?
Yeah, I said some
like
things.
Some
I
was just wondering.
Congratulations.
I said was in there. That's what I was just trying to.
I don't remember, but you can say what it is. I promise you, there is a lot of some people saying there is not a Starman quiz. There is a quiz. I'm not lying about there being a quiz. Yeah, having a quiz is easy. Pete does a quiz every week. It's not like it's.
Come on, man. Don't cut me down.
Come on.
By the way, I don't want to get back to the pointing thing or anything, but I'm looking at the YouTube stream and I'm in the middle. What's going on here? This is all
Justin's in the middle on my screen.
Oh, man. The internet is crazy. Nelson Martinez, by the way, on YouTube says, yeah, shout out from Valley Stream LI. Looking forward to seeing you at the pit. Yes, very much so. We hope to see you all live at the pit very soon.
Please.
Here we go. This is the next one.
The pit should be your destination. You should make it there.
This is from Comic Book Poser. The question is for Pete. Given that we've seen Krakoa eat one island and fuck another, what is one island you do each of the above with?
Marry, fuck, kill islands?
Yeah, marry, fuck, kill for islands, but, you know, fill in your own.
Okay. Wow. Let's see.
I think. Well, of course, I'd fuck the Virgin Islands.
I would marry Maui, because it's a beautiful island. And then
Mary Maui.
And it's I've been there, and I could definitely spend a lot of time there. I would kill... Justin, you weren't born on an island, were you?
Not that I know of.
Okay, damn it.
I was born in a fort. Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Florida.
Yes, I know where that is.
Cool. Very cool. I think I would. I mean, you're gonna marry Long Island. You're gonna fuck Staten Island, and you're gonna kill that uppity island of Manhattan, New York City.
I wouldn't fuck Staten Island with your dick.
I'm a human Billy Joel song.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's move on to the next one. This is from Kevin Wilcox. The spirit of self-isolation. What are your fave comic bottle episodes? Ooh, that's an interesting one. I'll throw one out right off. Is the Ultimate Spider-Man issue where Aunt May discovers that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, and they just have a conversation about it? Wait, was it Aunt May or was it Mary Jane? I thought it was Aunt May.
I don't know.
Okay. Whatever it is, there's a conversation issue, and I believe it's Aunt May. Everybody certainly feel free to correct me. It's Mary Jane. Okay, there
we go. I think it's Mary Jane, yeah.
Okay, so it's Mary Jane and Peter Parker. Yes. But whatever it is, the entire issue takes place pretty much in Peter Parker's bedroom, and it's just them talking about his secret, and I love that issue.
This is a recent one, but the Immortal Hulk, was it 25, where it's just the Hulk as the last creature in the universe?
Yeah.
Slowly, he grows so angry, he becomes like a celestial body. Like, that issue was like in line with the rest of the story, but just as a standalone issue that like was horrifying, but also like wild sci-fi. Really cool. Really stuck with me.
Yeah. Pete, do you have one?
Yeah. I don't know. I got to go with the Chris Hastings written Deadpool, where he leaves a fight to go cook chimichangas in a microwave. And it's just
what were the deeper meanings you found in that issue?
Well, I just think it's one of those things where, like, you know, it's you can always leave a fight, guys, you know?
That's actually very sweet.
Yeah. Nice. Ben the Border Collie in the comments over here on Crowdcast says the crossword puzzle issue of Ice Cream Man, maybe. Yeah, that's a really good one. I don't know if that's a bottle episode so much as a done-in-one issue.
I mean, you could call any of the Ice Cream Man issues sort of great standalone issues.
Yeah.
They are great.
Cool. There we go. Got a couple more here over on YouTube, though. Omnia Soul says two things. Don't disrespect the star of trivia. And also, can we get another clue on the Starman quiz? What do you think? Two clues enough at this point, Justin?
That was a lot of clues. And as I said, I'm going to say the three words that make up the key phrase over the course of the rest of this podcast. And I do say a lot of words, but that's my choice.
It's not really helping.
This is another one. This is from Ben the Border Collie. But why do you like to call it the stack? I like to call it the Stack. It's not actually called the Stack. It has another name. But we'll never reveal the real name of
it. No, it's called the Pile, I believe.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, we'll never reveal it.
You kind of blew up my spot there. But yes, the actual name of the section is called the Pile. I like to call it the Stack.
We prefer to call it the Stack.
Great question. From Eduardo.
Big, huge reveal. Yeah, what a big thing we're adding to the mythology of our show.
From Eduardo Martinez, for audience questions, following up with the Marvel Unlimited talk before, are there any particular parts of Marvel continuity that have you found are enhancing your enjoyment of any current Marvel run?
Great question.
Interesting. That question kind of blew my mind.
It kind
of
blew
parts of Marvel continuity that you have found are enhancing your enjoyment of any current Marvel run. I mean, we talked about this on the Stack, but like, actually, we didn't exactly talk about this on the Stack, but we were reviewing Decorum, the new Jonathan Hickman book. And Justin, I believe you were saying that you like the fact that it's him unfettered, that it's him out of any continuity.
Hickman
out of any continuity. It's him playing with big sci-fi concepts, but it doesn't have to have Apocalypse or Cyclops or anything like that.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I like about X-Men is it does give me something to hold on to, where even though the characters are often vastly different, things like this last issue we talked about earlier in the show, where it's like, oh, yeah, the Brood. I like the Brood. Okay, it's with this new take on X-Men. All right, that's giving me something. That's giving me an in on that, and I appreciate that.
And we should say, for our podcast, The Stack, we call it The Stack, but we like to call it The Pile.
Yes.
Ironically.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. Now that that's out of the open, I feel a great weight off of me.
Yeah, it has been our greatest secret, and what a burden. My answer is a little weird for this. I've been really enjoying, obviously, Tom King's Batman run and specifically the relationship with Catwoman. And it makes me want to go back and reread all of the other Batman/Bruce Wayne relationships. And I think because there are so few of them and it's so rarely well done. My favorite of those is his relationship with Sasha Bordeaux, who later went on to lead Checkmate in the Batman Bodyguard, I want to say, the storyline from the early aughts or late 90s. Man, great relationship. Really got to watch them, he and Sasha Bordeaux, come together. And it really reflects well on the Catwoman run.
Do you think you like Sasha Bordeaux because Sasha Bordeaux is to Batman what Silver Sable is to Spider-Man?
That's a great answer. Also, Bordeaux, great wine region. I think we can all get behind that. Empty.
Pete, is there any part of Marvel continuity that you found is enhancing your enjoyment of any current Marvel run?
Well, you guys both kind of touched on it. I just think it's one of those things where it's like, right now with X-Men, because there is so much continuity and so much stuff, every time they kind of do something like bring back characters from different things, you're kind of like, ooh, and that kind of brings you back to someplace, which is great. Like the Schism with what's going on with this Thruple with, you know, Cyclops, Wolverine, and Jean Grey. And then
you love the X-Men.
Yeah, and then the, you know, Wolverine, when Wolverine was, running the School for the Gifted, and, there were all these fun little side characters that were there, too. So, I don't know, it's hard to pick, one thing, but it's just, that's what's one of the nice things, is, there is so much that when they do stuff in comics, it's usually not, especially not Marvel, it's not accidental, there is some kind of, either deep history there, or something you can, find out and kind of get involved in.
It's written in the stars, and that's they just do it.
We got one last.
Wait, is that a hint? Was that a clue right there? It's written in the stars.
That was just a comment.
Oh,
interesting.
Dang. I thought it was a star.
The thing is that they're hidden, the clues, so you can't ever trust what I'm saying.
I'll just mention.
I can't ask you why you're saying it.
We answered this one earlier, but this is from Kier Alexander. What is a good comedy? Oh, we didn't exactly answer this. I missed a word. What is a good comedy comic book series to binge read during this time? We touched on some fun ones, but any comedy comic book series that are particularly good? You know, one that I almost wrote down to talk about at the beginning of the show, but then didn't, was Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, just because that is so chipper and hopeful and funny. And it's so, I've talked about this a million times, but it's so packed with stuff that it legit takes you probably three times as long to read any issue of Unbeatable Squirrel Girl versus any other comic. So reading that in collection, particularly now that that's done, might be a fun one to do. I'll also mention if you have kids, and not that I'm experiencing this, but if you're trying to fill up the entire day with your kids and teach them
any minute, fill just 1 or 2 minutes and be fine. Just any.
Squirrel Girl's another good one because it also has a lot of STEM and science in it. So it might be a fun one for them to read too.
What Alex is thinking but didn't say was Deadly Foes of Spider-Man, obviously another great comedy title. I want to throw out The Flintstones, written by Mark Russell. It was very fun and funny. And a throwback way to the mid or early to mid 90s, the Slapstick Limited series from Marvel about the character who later has come back as part of a team that in the Deadpool books. And he's sort of a wild clown with magic gloves.
I had mentioned earlier Deadpool, but also there was this really funny book called Book Hunter by the math genius Shiga, and it's very funny and really smart.
Yeah. A couple of other quick suggestions from the chat. Next Wave, which is great. Chip Zdarsky's Howard the Duck is so much fun. Those are both from Bend the Border Collie. JMC Hammer says Crowded is really funny. Definitely recommend that as well. Jump it over to YouTube for a second. Nelson Martinez says, have you guys watched the season of Swamp Thing? I heard good things about that. And Doom Patrol, what would you guys recommend watching first?
Doom Patrol.
Yes. Do you want to talk a little bit more about it, Pete?
Well, just speaking of funny things, like the characterizations on Doom Patrol are really, really well done. Very unique, very fun takes, and the actors are having such a great time with it. From start to finish, it's really amazing. Swamp Thing, I didn't make it all the way through. Someone also had asked us if we watched Bloodshot. Bloodshot I've seen halfway through, and, you know, it's
a vintage. Wait, hold on a second. Bloodshot, the movie that is still in theaters and has not been released on VOD like a lot of the other things, you only watched halfway through?
Yeah,
halfway through. So you went to the theater, of course, paying for a ticket and then left because you were scared of coronavirus.
Yeah, I went to the theater. Someone got too close to you. Use this time for being online to do anything, you know?
Uh-huh. You scumbag.
I agree with the Doom Patrol thing. That is the best thing that they have put on DC Universe. Also, like I mentioned earlier, the Harley Quinn animated series is so funny and so smart. I didn't love the first episode of it, but get past that one, and then it really gets very deep, surprisingly, with the characters. Swamp Thing, I don't think it was... It's pretty bad for the first couple of episodes, but there's a point it starts to lean into the cheese and the gore and have at least one standout horror sequence per episode, and then it starts to get fun. There you go. I guess we got one last question here, and we'll do this one real quick because we are actually going to have to start wrapping up. This is from Ben the Border Collie. What other comic thruples would you like to see explored? Pete, this is your area of expertise. I'll go to you first. What do you want to see?
Oh, wow. I really want to see... that's
like Wolverine, Cyclops, and somebody else.
Nope. No, I don't want to see those. No, I was thinking more like Evil Beast and the Diamond Queen there. What's her name? Snow
White Queen?
Emma Frost?
Emma Frost. There we go.
Oh, okay.
Dark Beast and Emma Frost?
Dark Beast.
I got to be honest. Sometimes, Pete, every once in a while, I'm like, is this a Pete from an alternate universe who's never actually read comics? Because you come in with something where it's like, this is a character. This is Emma Frost. You've talked about her a bunch of times. I don't seem to know who she is.
You've never had a thing where you're talking about something and all of a sudden a name just goes out your head? You're just like,
I remember everything all the time.
Yeah. I never forget everything. Whoa, look at that hand. Look,
don't point at me like that. You fucking lucky you're quarantined right now.
Come and get me, Pete.
Wow.
Come and get me. Wow.
Yeah, Pete, we can challenge you to any sort of fight and you can't leave.
Wait.
Justin, do you have a thruple you'd like to see explored or should we?
Let's see. Spider-Ham, Spider-Man, and another Spider-Man.
Great. I'd love to see Spider-Ham and two pieces of bread.
The good all truffle. Right.
Thank you all for your questions. Now, I got to be honest, I have no idea how we're going to do this, but we're going to move on to trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage. Pete, how do you want to run this? Do you want to be like first person into the chat? Do you want to just choose somebody from who's on here? Oh, man. Well, we had a couple of people just say me immediately.
Also, someone said hashtag Team Pete, which is not a hashtag we use. We don't use that.
Yeah, well, I would like to start using it. So I'm going to go with it's usually first hand up, but first in the queue. So it's me, a hashtag Team Pete, comic book poser wins.
Nice.
All right, there we go.
No, you have to do the quiz. You have to do the quiz, Pete.
Yeah, I know.
So comic book poser. There we go. Pete is going to read. I'll just explain. So Pete is going to read you three questions. At the end, Pete, if you can send your, I think, email and full name to comicbookclublive@gmail.com, we will send you a $25 gift card to use online so you don't have to go into a store anywhere to Midtown Comics. So nobody help him. Nobody help Comic Book Poser. Pete's going to read the questions, then Comic Book Poser, you weigh in with your answers, all right?
Yeah, nobody help him except Pete. I think Pete's allowed to help, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, here we go, Pete. Let's do this. I'm excited to see how this is going to work.
Today's trivia is on topical comic news. And here we go. Question number one. Please wait until I give all three answers and then choose.
Wow.
Okay.
Real strict with the rules in this digital format.
Yep. Grant Morrison has said he will bring Green Lantern blank. Is it A, back down to Earth, B, to more crazier tripped out places, or is it C, David Hyde Pierce? So it's either A, or you could pick B, or you could pick C. What do you think it is?
A is the correct answer. There we go. All right, good job, comic book poser. Let's get question number two, Pete.
Question number two.
Much more smoothly. It's crazy.
It's weird. I want to mention, it does feel like there is like a light that is shining on Pete right now, even in his apartment. It's just really making him glow in a very special way.
I know. I feel smaller, and Alex feels smaller, but Pete feels like larger, more full of life. His hair looks like more organized somehow.
Yeah, you have that that moonlight in front of you, Justin, and it really feels like it's reflecting the light that's coming off of Pete.
Yeah, it's wild. He's sitting up. To your point, he's not on the couch. Thank you, comic book poser. You just won my quiz.
Can we just...
Oh, you
want to
go
continue with
the second question? Yes. All right, we cede our time to the star of trivia.
Stop.
Reclaiming my time? Reclaiming my time.
Oh, my God. Question number two. In Tom King's Catwoman 80th anniversary issue that is coming out, what has been teased? Is it A, Batman and Catwoman break up, B, Catwoman is preggers, or is it C, Harry Shearer? So it's either A, don't even think about it, or it's B.
Okay, here we go. Oh, B, Batcat Baby.
Yeah, Batcat Baby.
Yeah, how does she fit into that leather uniform with the baby? We'll never know.
There is some really hilarious panels that they teased out of Catwoman and Batman on a roof fighting, and they're... But they're also like they're fighting bad guys, but they're also fighting about the pregnancy. It's really funny.
That's fun.
Fun stuff.
All right, here we go. Last one. Gail Simone is using this time to help others on Twitter. She is using what hashtag for lessons on writing comics? Is it A, hashtag comic school, B, hashtag free comic lessons, or is it C, Jeff Bridges? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick B or C. Mm.
A and the Fisher Quick. Wow.
Wow. Confidence.
Oh, man. Yeah. Is that right on both counts, Pete?
That is correct.
Oh, so the answer is the A, and the movie, the Robin Williams movie you're referring to, was The Fisher King. And that was, I just want to mention, for those of you listening to the podcast, comic book poser and Keira Alexander posted The Fisher King within like a split second of each other But Comic Book Foes was just that much faster. That was very impressive. Great.
Let me
job,
say, and
everybody.
Also, it was not planned that I mentioned the Fisher King early in the show.
I know when you
That's
did that,
so
I was
crazy.
Like, Justin, you share a brain. Wow.
It's too bad. We do share a brain, Pete. That's definitely. That's always been true.
Excellent. Comic Book Poser, please send us your name and email to comicbookclublive@gmail.com, and we will get you that gift certificate so you can enjoy any of the many binge comic book runs that we suggested, or something of your own choice. That's all good.
Did you get it? You get whatever you want.
As we all know, even with everything that's going on, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to here? What are you excited about coming out on New Comic Book Day?
I'm excited about Bitterroot number 7. Sanford Green is really amazing and so talented. I'm glad to see him cranking out amazing stuff. And then Usagi Yojimbo number 9 also comes out tomorrow.
Excellent. Justin, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to there's this Robin 80th anniversary comic coming out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I've always loved all the different Robins, specifically Dick Grayson. I'm looking forward to see how I feel like they're going to like wander through each of the Robins. I want to see how many Robins they get to. We're going to get Stephanie in there, one of my favorite Robins as well. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, and we'll have a review of that in the Stack podcast, which comes out Wednesday, 9 a.m. in the Comic Book Club feed and the Stack feed. My pick is Tartarus number 2 is coming out at Image Comics. The first issue of this was bonkers, like absolutely gorgeous art. We reviewed it on the Stack and felt it was very like very old school Mobius French comic books. It channeled that same sort of vibe. And I am very stoked to see where they go because it could be absolutely any direction for the second issue. We'll also have a review of that on the Stack as well. To answer Lee Wana's question, is Midtown Comics still open? LOL. I think they actually are, though they're having massive sales online at the same time.
Yeah. Though online stores open.
Yes. I think she says go online. Yes, definitely go online.
And Justin, do you agree with that Tim Drake is the best Robin?
Jay Sinison says Tim Drake's the best Robin, or at least the most Robin. I definitely agree with the second statement. He is the most Robin of all Robins.
Damian is my favorite Robin.
Interesting.
And I don't quite understand this, but over on YouTube, Finn the Ape says Robin in under quarantine. Sorry.
Robin's under quarantine.
Oh, Robin's under quarantine. Yeah, he probably is. All of you, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it, whether you are on Crowdcast or YouTube or you're listening to the podcast later. Obviously, this is going to be going on for a while, so at least until the end of the month, every Tuesday at 7 p.m., instead of doing the live show in the pit, we are going to do it right here, simulcast from Crowdcast to YouTube. We do hope you join us. We're going to neaten this up a little bit and release this as the audio podcast as well. If you want to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do this live show here to the internet at 7 p.m. at least to the end of the month. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and more. A lot of our podcasts, the Riverdale podcast is actually off for a while. Katie Keencast, our Katie Keen podcast, goes up Thursdays after that show. Also, we are finishing up our Lock and Key podcast, Lock and Key Unlock, so definitely check that out as well. And again, we cannot stress you enough. Thank all of you so much for watching. Thank all of you so much for listening. I hope you all are staying safe out there, washing your hands, having a good time inside. We're going to try to do this as much as possible.
If you have any other ideas of stuff you want us to hit or cover, I mean, we have time to do a light amount of research.
The barest minimum. Jason Nissen wants to know if Alex is going to tell me to buy gold. You know what, Joe? Not this week. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye, guys. Someone release me from this basement prison.